Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, good evening. We're glad to go back live with you on Facebook and to you who will be listening on YouTube and our podcast, Spotify, and all the other places where this thing will be rebroadcasted. I pray that tonight that you'll have ears to hear. We've been studying for the last several weeks and, from my book, Biblical Church. And last week we came to a conclusion on that. This week we're going to transition a little segue into prayer. I believe a few weeks ago, as we were dealing with the four pillars of the early church, the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer, I felt that a fresh anointing got on our corporate praying, and I believe that it's time to see that rally back. And I'm amazed at how the Lord had directed me to a verse tonight, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he kept that in my spirit, and I was a little concerned. I was like, okay, it seemed one-dimensional to me when I was looking at it, but boy, this thing has exploded in revelation, and I'm not certain that something has happened to this. I think we may have a battery problem here. There it is. Okay, so without further ado or more introduction, we'll just get right at this thing. I'm in 2 Thessalonians. I want to read the whole chapter to you. I believe the context of this thing is going to be very important for us tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in the first verse. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Remember that little phrase, gathering together unto him, "that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." So carefully look at verse 6 and verse 7. Withholdeth and letteth. Some of your modern versions are going to talk about restraining and other words like that. We'll get back to those. Just want to point that out. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, religious miracles, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God should send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So, we have this 2 Thessalonians, which I believe is one of the most pertinent verses there are. And now, last week, as I told you, we're going to get into the idea of prayer. And, you know, Jesus' disciples came to him one day and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And I would ask you out there, who really taught you how to pray? And I know many children were led by their moms in prayer, and that's a nice thing and it's good. But who really taught you to pray? Who really taught you how to storm heaven? Who really taught you how to make intercession? Have you ever really prayed with a praying person? Someone who knows how to get a hold of God. Someone who knows how to shake the heavens. And so when you learn from a person who can actually pray, people in every religion pray. But in the idea of Christian praying, there are some matter-of-fact issues that I want to discuss with you. And 2 Thessalonians seems to be so pertinent to our current events right now. So many people see the transitionings of times right now. We're in huge shiftings, events that we've never seen before taking place. America is on a major decline. We seem to be moving toward third world status. And when we look at the issues that are at hand, Russia has invaded Ukraine. Then you have the American governments, and China is over there, and South Korea and Iran. And you have all these players. Everything's going crazy. Canada's going crazy. Mexico is coming across. South America's coming to America. Everything's upended right now. It's just like, what is going on in the world? Even people who have nothing to do with religion these days are becoming very aware that something's going on in our world, in our generation. What is the Christian duty? So many today are focused on Antichrist. Oh, the Antichrist is going to come, and the mark of the beast. And those things are real things. And if you have not, you can go to our website, www.housechurchesusa.com. You can go to our video section, and you can go on our YouTube channel, and you can listen to all my teachings on the book of Revelation. We had much to say about the unfolding of these events. What this next two series are about is, in particular, is what is the Christian duty right now in prayer? How are we to pray? What's the duty in prayer? I want to take this one verse at a time, and let's establish this point. It's going to take me tonight to set up the point, and then the next session, we will really go into the prayer aspects of it. So tonight, let's look at this carefully. Verse 1, now we beseech you. That word is very interesting, beseech you. Most translators say we beg you. I don't like those kind of words, but when you start looking at it, it's almost like I'm questioning you about this. I'm interrogating you. I'm really inquiring of you about what you know. What's your thoughts on this issue? Look carefully. I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's talking about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have to think of this and understand something in the coming events, is that there will come a time when the resurrection of the dead begins, and we go up to meet Christ in the air. We meet the Lord in the air. That's not the literal second coming to earth. That was when the resurrection begins, and we go up to meet the Lord in the air. And I've taught much on this issue concerning rapture theology and how it really breeds confusion and a non-soundness of doctrine concerning the resurrection from the dead. The real theology here, or the real doctrine here, the real Christian belief is about resurrection from the dead and the little term caught up. And it's amazing how many people's theology is poof, we're out of here, and we're never going to have hard times. This is such an Americanized silliness. It's a new thinking, if you would. It is not. Listen, Jesus himself guaranteed us that in this world we will have tribulation. One thing God has protected the Christian, we are not appointed to wrath. But let me tell you something. He has not protected us from tribulation, persecution, famine, peril. All of those are on the table. He literally can let judgment loose on the church, and I think it will come to the church. And so this idea of easy believism, escapism, it's just way in keeping with the rest of the false doctrines floating around the churches these days. Keep going. Watch carefully.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not about the coming of the Antichrist. We ought to be stirred up and considering the coming of Christ. Look, I don't know if you caught that a while ago. He said Christ is going to come and destroy Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth. So I'm not too worried about Antichrist. Christ is going to destroy him. What I'm concerned about is the coming of Christ and the people of God being ready for his return. That's my concern. That's my heart. Keep going with me. Watch carefully. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, this is a fascinating point. I kept reiterating it. And I want you to see this, our gathering together under him. I see a twofold meaning here. In particular, I certainly have always interpreted this as the coming of the Lord and us being gathered together unto him. In particular, at 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so this is where rapture theology comes from. But if you said the dead in Christ will rise first, that is the resurrection. Dead in Christ are going to rise first. This is resurrection. Get that in your spirit. This is resurrection. Do yourself a favor. Lose the term rapture. Get rid of it out of your thinking and begin to really focal on the resurrection from the dead. Now, watch carefully. Our gathering together under him. Now, all those things. Let me show you a verse in Matthew. In the first thought on this, in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 31. Let's go there. I'll be a little slower. I'm not as fast tonight. I'll be flipping pages with you guys. In Matthew 24, I'm starting verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together. Look at that. Gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Look, gather together the elect. He's going to gather them together and bring them up with him. Now, that's the standard understanding. That is the been my understanding of Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 and 2 forever. And now, what I want to add to it tonight and show you tonight on the second part of this understanding, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. If you want to do yourself a favor, do an exhaustive study on gather together. We're talking about together, synago. In the particular word used in 2 Thessalonians, it's episynago. And as I've studied that word, when I try to exhaust episynago, the root word of synago is S-Y-N. The only time I'm really good about the idea of sin is in the Greek language, S-Y-N. Sin, it means to be with or together. And so synago, together with, and then episynago, like when we have the epicenter of a earthquake, it's that whole perimeter that was evolved with the earthquake. So the episynago would be the whole gathering together of the body of Christ. Now, when we consider gathering together in this aspect, look at Hebrews chapter 10, one of the most frightening passages in Scripture, but also one that literally is in lockstep with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Watch carefully. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, provoking people, irritating them, agitating them, bothering them. All that's fair. Provoke unto love and to good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Together, episynago. Together, episynago. as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, this is very fair. The fact is the day is approaching. We see the day approaching. The day of Christ is at hand. It's close. It's, let's put it this way. I'm not trying to call dates and times, but we are closer than it's ever been, so much more as we see the day approaching. Now, there has been a great forsaking of the assembly in these days. And I think if you heard me teach all the way through biblical church, some of it I'm kind of happy about. But I believe there needs to be a gathering together. And in particular, I'm going to keep teaching this. It's about prayer. Stay with me on this. It's about gathering together and praying. Now, what I wanted to do is show you that usage of that word, episunago, the Greek language. And I'm not a Greek scholar, but I dabble. And we have to try to understand. We study the word by studying words and try to understand these words and bringing them into context. And so we take this, a fascinating study of sunago itself, together with this unity, the gathering together of people. It is an absolutely fascinating study. And I want to direct you right now to one of them in Matthew chapter 18. We've covered this just shortly ago, but we're going at him again. Matthew 18. One of our feature verses when we were dealing with the biblical church message, Jesus only used the word church in his earthly ministry three times, once in Matthew 16 and twice here in Matthew chapter 18. In both cases, he talks about the keys to the kingdom of God. And in this one, Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's what he called the keys to the kingdom in chapter 16. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now look at there. When I see the end times gathering together, certainly the supernatural power where God himself is going to, the Lord himself is going to come down and gather together his saints and we meet him in the air. That event of gathering together, it's a one-time thing. It begins in the end days and it's the beginning of what's called the day of the Lord. And powerful event, the resurrection of the dead begins. And judgments are loose like never before. It's unbelievable. And eventually we'll move it into the wrath of God. Now, what I want you to see here is also used, sunago, gather together, that in the idea of a church, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so here we have the greatest promise, one of the greatest promises on this side of the cross to the saved person and the duty of the church in the gathering together for prayer. Now, if you want to see a meeting that's hard to keep come together, call a prayer meeting. I'm telling you, people won't last 5 minutes. They can't pray long. And people are, you know, you look at Facebook, you'd swear that America is the prayingest people on the planet. But it's, you know, sending hands on Facebook and these and praying hands. That's not praying, folks. And when we get to the idea of praying, and I mean really beseeching God and really holding on long for the answers, really pressing through till the heavens open, this is the power of prayer. It's the power we have to, God has all the power. Prayer is not the power. God is the power. And literally when we break through this thing, you see, the idea of gathering together, we have such a scattering in this generation that is so problematic. It's one thing, and Thessalonians goes on to say it, and we're going to get back to it in just a minute. It's one thing that people are falling away. And that's what he said would happen. There's many who have left the church, and I've been saying that for weeks now, that have not left their faith. I've talked to people, numerous folks on the phone, who literally almost verbatim say those kind of things to me, back to me. They've left the church, but they've not left their faith. They don't know what to do. And so I'm talking to lots of people who are in this condition today, and I know there's multitudes out there in the same way. Now, I can tell you this. If we had a gathering together where millions worldwide came to Christ, it would only be a drop in the bucket to what's 8 billion people on this planet. So hear me carefully. My vision is to see many come together. I want to see so many gathered together. Innumerable multitudes came together, gathered together, sunago. But the idea is that come together and agreeing as one man, agreeing as one. When the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem, and they were carried away for 70 years into Babylon, when they came back together under Nehemiah and Ezra, it says, when they came back together, they said they were gathered together as one man. That the whole multitude had one mind, one thought. We're so scattered, we're so divided. Building a prayer agreement and a prayer anointing is not easy. And let me tell you, everything, listen to me carefully, everything from hell is trying to divide that. Usually all he needs to do is whisper. And he'll divide us. Did you know about him? That Terrell Hayberry, he's just mean. He's controlling. Did you know that about him? Controller. That's it. We're not going around that. Well, I don't blame you. Here goes the whispers. Whispers. Demonic whispering. A whisperer separates chiefest of friends. That's what the scripture says. And usually that's all the work the devil has to do. But let me tell you what, the harder we stay at this, the more we go into conflict resolution, the more we practice Matthew 18 and we go to each other with heart and hand and say, oh, I've wronged you or you've wronged me. Let's work this out. And all of a sudden we begin to build a strength that the devil is fearful of, a threefold cord not easily broken. And as we are cleaning our hearts with no bitterness, no unforgiveness, man, all this stuff is being swept away. It's absolute imperative that we literally work this out between brethren so our prayers will not be hindered. I'm so grateful God said we're two or three gathered together in my name. Gathered together. Sunago. There I am in the midst of them. And that if two or three could come to an agreement, anything is possible. Let's go back to the verses. All right, I'm in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I want to qualify this because I'm not with the ecumenical people. All right, I ain't about going sing kumbaya with folks I don't believe with. I ain't about lowering the standard. I'm not about praying with unrepentant sinners. I'm not about worshiping with unrepentant sinners. Now, if that sounds harsh to you, you just deal with it. You go define the church. And if it's just some community gathering where everybody gets together, it's a hospital for sinners, help yourself and let your prayers be unheard. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking to see a holy church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That's the promise. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. The powers of hell shall not prevail. I want a church that hell fears us. Don't talk about the devil, he might get you. Man, don't talk about the Holy Ghost, he might get you. God is more greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Quit fearing the devil. The devil's a liar. He's a defeated foe. He got nothing left but one thing. He is a liar. And if he can get you to believe his lie, the first thing he'll make you do is be afraid. And there goes your faith. It's time to believe God. It's time to have faith in God. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? We need to pray and not to faint. We have fainting people right now who are troubled in mind. They're troubled at the current events of our day. They're bothered by them. They're just shaking their knee. What's going to happen? What's going to do? What's going to, what? Man, the Bible's clear on what. Let's go back to the verses. Ephesians chapter 2. Wow. Let me qualify it. I like this. I was sharing with this with Diane this morning. I got a little Pentecostal in the house this morning. Verse 4, but God, I like that, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and has raised us up together. He quickened us together, sunago. He raised us up together, sunago, and has made us sit together, sunago, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Now, hear it carefully. Hear me carefully. He has quickened us together. He has raised us up together and seated us together. This sunago of those who have the commonality of the quickening, that we were dead in trespasses and sin, but in the new birth we were quickened and made alive, and he raised us up from the deadness of our sins. And he's quickened us together. There is a commonality together. We have a fellowship in this. There is an agreement in this. And I may not know you from Adam, but as soon as your spirit bears witness with my spirit that this has happened inside of you, we can come into an instant agreement by the Holy Ghost. This is powerful. He has seated us together. And when we come together, seated, you know, when you're set in the position of judgment, in this position, a seated or set person, he has made us to sit in the heavenly places. It changes perspective that we're on the top looking down. But I want to tell you something. I believe from the earthly perspective, we have been quickened together, raised together, seated together, and this idea is to where we build from in a commonality. We're not trying to get you saved. This is the church and the promise to the church in the power and the praying that when we pray, God will move and do what we ask. I am not satisfied with what we, when we pray and nothing happens. I don't want to be like the prophets of Baal, jumping up and down in all kind of emotion and nothing happened. My Bible says that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to passions like we are. And he prayed that wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again, it rained for 6 months. Why would a man of God pray that it won't rain? What? He prayed that it wouldn't rain. That's not even Christian. We should try to lead Elijah to God. We should try to get him saved because he's just not a nice man. Why would he do that? Drought. Then a monsoon. We have been so, let's go back to the verse. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to build a case. Before I just start throwing it out there, let me build the case. See, Matthew, May 18 says, anything you ask, it shall be done. Now, I believe the further you get back to the back of the book and the more we mature as Christians, we need to know that we're praying in the will of God. And let me say this with very stern, just clarity. The book of Revelation clearly shows us that in the apocalypse, in that last day, the revealing of Christ, when Christ is coming back, the closer we get to the end, the more God is going, the Creator is going to flex his muscles in the creation, and he will thwart every work of men. I'm giving you a hint on how we need to pray. Let me tell you something, folks. We need to pray to our Creator that he would move the creation to stop the wicked works of Antichrist men. Forget, let me tell you something. Don't waste your time at the voting booth. I'm appealing to a higher court. Look, the fix is in. If you ain't sure by now that there ain't no two-party system in America. It's one party and they all want Antichrist agenda. America's the beast of Revelation 13, just as sure as I'm sitting here, and the false prophet, the second beast of Revelation 13, is big tech and all that has to do with the media enterprise today. It is one big flood of lies. And if you think there's an innocent player going on right now, I want to tell you right now, the United States of America is the worst propaganda machine on this planet. As a matter of fact, what has set America financially apart since the turn of the century, it has nothing to do with oil or manufacturing or the old things we rely on. It's been big tech. That's the distinction in this hour. And let me tell you what, they've all thrown their power. If you didn't see them throw their power behind the beast in 2020, you're blind. Stay with me. Back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I'm building a case for praying. And I'm not talking about infant Jesus, meek and mild, make or make me thy loving child. I'm not talking about some little nursery rhymes. I'm talking about warfare praying, where we go in fully armed in the whole armor of God, the panoply of God. And we go to war, we go to battle against principality, against powers, against spiritual wickedness and wicked spirits in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against demonic entities that are literally permeating every authority structure on this planet. They're perverting everything that can be perverted, this twisted demonic thing. But let me tell you, Satan always overplays his hand. He did it at the cross, and he's going to do it now in these end times. Let me tell you, our Creator is a victor. Our God is a triumph. Our Christ is a man of war. Our Christ is literally going to be the victor. He is always going to triumph. He's going to destroy him with the sword that comes from his mouth. There will be no contest. He wins flat out, hands down. No contest. I am looking forward right now to the breaking of some of the greatest human powers on the planet right this minute. I'm going to testify in a little while, but I want to tell you something. George Soros, Mark Zuckerberg, these billionaire, uber billionaires who move, Klaus Schwab, all these uber billionaires who are literally moving the world markets right now as we speak to have their way. I want to see our Creator flex the muscles of omnipotence and break them for every dime until they're paupers. My God, I wish it could reach their ears. I'll get right to their face. Let's keep going. I'm going to read it again. Now we beseech you, brothers. I'm in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. We beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto Him. Twofold thinking, gathering up to be with Him forever, or right now the gathering together of Him in the churches. The gathering. Stay with me. Be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's a time for faith. Faith undoes all that. Listen, neither by spirit, that's a demonic spirit, nor by word, nor by letter or an epistle as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't bring me your papers about Nostradamus and some other off the wall, goofy thing. I ain't trying. The only thing I'm here to hear into is the word of God and scripture. You can take your rest of your stuff and just keep it. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care about these false entities. Let's keep moving. Watch carefully. Let no man deceive you. Where have we heard that from? Let no man deceive you. Jesus said that, read Matthew 24, over and over again. Now, here's the anomaly. If you call out a deceiver right now, you are worse than the deceiver. To call out the deceiver makes you a worse person than the deceiver themselves. How dare you call him out? Oh, you should never talk about them. You see, this is woke Christianity. It's the non-judgment crowd who literally has taken all judgment out their brain. Don't judge, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. That's the only theology you have. Judge not, judge not, judge not. And it's apparent because it made you dumber than a box of hammers. You don't make no sense. And people mock Christianity because of it. We have no judgment. Now, I'm not talking about being judgmental, but the Word of God is already judged. If I tell you what thus says the Lord, I didn't make it up. Man, I could. If it was I was making it up, it'd be a whole lot easier. I'd make it easy. I just read them like I see them, and it ain't easy. It's a straight, narrow way. Keep going with me. Let no man deceive you by any means. I'm going to especially point out by church means. Now, I won't go off on tangents. Let me just keep going. For that day, what day? The day of Christ, the coming of our Lord. That day shall not come. It will not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That day shall not come. You hear it? It ain't going to happen unless there come a falling away first. Now, falling away, this word is apostasia, and it literally means to depart or defect from truth. I believe there are many people who still go to church who are literally falling away. As a matter of fact, I believe entire churches are falling away right now in this hour. They're defecting from truth. They don't want the truth. They want an easy believism and an eternal security in easy believism that'll let a person do whatever they want to, just say a simple prayer or get sprinkled as an infant, and literally the easiest of easy believism, that's it, you're saved and nothing could ever take that away from you. And there's no repentance, there's no change, there's no Christian life, there's none of that. There's no evidence whatsoever that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But you got some guy in a three-piece suit or a nice suit up there or a fish hat or whatever. They're behind a podium somewhere telling you God loves you and has a plan for your life and you're going to have peace and you're going to live with him forever. Unless you're Catholic, you might go to purgatory for a minute and then you'll be better. All right. These are real things I'm putting out there. Stay with it. Watch carefully. Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away. Now, I've been putting this out there for the whole time we've been dealing with biblical church. Hear it carefully. There has been a departure from church from the turn of the century. At least 1 million people per year are falling out of church. Now, I have to believe there is part of a great falling away there. And if you look carefully across the board, across our nation, there are many people who just don't care anymore about the things of God. They just don't believe in God anymore. Now, I'm going to make a case here in a minute. I think I'm building it. Let no man deceive you by any means. Listen to me, believer. If there's ever a time to rally the troop, you say, well, how do we do that? It need not be many. I remember reading, I think it was R.A. Torrey or one of those old guys. I remember it might have been Finney. He said, what do we do to get revival? He said, here's what you do. First, get thoroughly right yourselves. You don't have to have a bunch of you. Just a few. Confess your sins. Get thoroughly right with God. Then come together and pray till revival comes. That's it. That's it. He said, God cannot refuse that. That's powerful from people who experience revival. Stay with me. Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come. The coming of Christ shall not come unless there first come a falling away. I'm appealing to you. If you have fallen away from truth, if you've departed from truth, listen, come back. You can pick up your Bible. You can come back to other believers. Come back. Return to me, says the Lord, and I will heal your backslidings. You can be fixed. Please, if you can respond to this, come back. Come back. Don't forsake the assembly. Assemble back together and come to the pinnacle of worship. And it ain't some fancy choir singing fancy songs and a fancy preacher giving a fancy sermon in a mega church in a fancy auditorium. What it is sincere believers who've come together, and prayer is the pinnacle of their worship. If you don't think that's enough, look at the signs of the times and tell me if there's not enough to pray about. Stay with me. The man of sin shall be revealed. What does something like that mean? That son of perdition, a son of destruction, in particular, eternal damnation. The man of sin, let's reverse that, sinning man. You see, somebody said, oh, I ain't gonna ever take that mark of the beast. Well, let me explain something to you about 666. Number six is flesh in biblical numerology. 666, three times spirit, soul, and body you've been given to flesh and seeking of flesh. Let me tell you something. There's more people who have already received in the spirit a mark of the beast than whatever computer chip you're afraid of receiving. See, if you're living by the flesh, you're gonna die by the flesh. That's a fact. Right now in our generation, the moral decline is in a spiral, a helix spiraling out of control downward. Morality, truth has fallen away. It's turned away backwards. We got a Supreme Court justice who says she's not qualified. No, here's the epitome. We have to put a woman of color on the Supreme Court. And then when we ask the woman of color who's the nominee, well, I'm not qualified to say what a woman is. My question would be simple. How are we to know what you even are? Somebody called you. We need a biologist here. Y'all, we have lost our collective minds in America. If this is what collegiate academia offers today, get your children out of there and let these corrupt universities go broke like they should. There should be no American Department of Education, because all it is now is a department of mind control and grooming. Folks, we're in a predicament. And so here we stand at this juncture in our life with a moral decline where we don't know male from female. We don't know which bathroom to use. We got boy swimmers who claim they're girls now. And so we have all this this gender confusion. We have homosexual men with men and women with women. Listen, let me keep building the case. Watch carefully. Watch where this goes. The sinning man, we have literally pulled the plug on sin right now. People are sinning like crazy. And I believe the advent of the internet has literally exacerbated this thing, and it's going crazy. We've eaten of the tree of knowledge so much that we literally don't know where else to go from here. And now it seems like the voracious appetite of the hour is, let's have little children. This is, keep reading. The man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Watch carefully. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I got one word for that. It's called humanism. Where's the temple of God? There's one place the spirit of Antichrist wants to sit, and it's in the heart of men. When the spirit of Antichrist enters the heart of man, the sinning man will be revealed. He can't help himself. When you begin to exalt yourself above God, this is humanism. In the 1800s, later 1800s, a movement called the Enlightenment took place. And man began to exalt man's reasoning above the revelation of God. Prior to that, man used his reasoning faculties to understand God's revelation. And then, with the oppositions of science, falsely so called, they begin to explain away miracles, nature, creation, and say, that ain't God, this is electromagnet, and blah, blah, blah. And I literally, you see, I love science that works with the creator and the creation. But when you set out to disprove, like, okay, you got to believe science. This is the buzzword of the hour. You got to believe the science. Well, listen to me. Let me go on record. I hate Democrat science because it's stupid. And I refuse to be stupid with you. If you want to play like you're a girl because you got girl clothes on, that don't make you a woman. I'm a cattle rancher. And when we castrate a calf, that doesn't make him a girl. It just makes him castrated. Now, that's science. You can't go over there and milk that afterwards. We'll get no milk. That's science. But the new science is so mind-bogglingly foolish. They said that that baby in the womb is not a baby. Washington, D.C., this week, I have to say it. Prolife.org, found in the dumpster of one of the biggest abortionists in Washington, D.C. Full, viable babies in the dumpster that were either aborted at delivery or killed just afterwards. If this won't horrify you, maybe we've gone too far. We're spiraling. Stay with this thought. Now listen. He as God sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. There's been a humanism that's rising up where the reason of man and the reasoning faculties of academia. I just had a conversation with a young lady this week and I said, she was talking about the love of God. I said, where did you get that definition? She said, from Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. I said, don't use that. It's a collegiate dictionary. College people don't have no sense no more. Go back and find you a biblical dictionary so you'll understand what the love of God is, because now we've reduced God to human terms. You know, the heart just loves what it loves. And we say that's God. We say that's love. In the most perverse ways, we say that's love. And it's not God. God is love, and I want to tell you, the love of God is greater than anything human love can ever. The love of God, when we were still sinners, let his son come down to earth and take our place in death. The love of God is so sacrificially giving, but here we see the humanist love is only self-serving. The humanist says that the whole reason I'm here is for my happiness and my pleasure. The Christian love says I'm here for God's glory. You can judge yourself from that statement alone tonight. He said, I thought this was about praying. We ain't going to be able to pray till we get through this. Watch carefully. Stay with it. Verse 5, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholds, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, this withholdeth and let. Let me show you these words here. Give me 1 second here. It means to hold back. Only he who now holds back will hold back. Only he who now restrains. Restrains what? The man of sin. the sinning man. The mystery of iniquity. The overflow of sons of perdition. The duty of the church is a restraining. How can I do that? Years ago, I met a godly man named Dick Simmons. Richard Simmons. When I heard that, I went, ooh, I don't want to meet him. But I thought of the little gymnast. Hey! But he wasn't that. Not at all. Oh, the other side of the coin. And he got off the airplane and picked him up at the airport. And he said, yeah, Terry, you can't let this happen. He reached in his shirt pocket and handed me a little newspaper clipping. And it said that No Limit Record Labels was fixing to move their enterprise to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This is Master P and C Murder and all that bunch of gangsters way back in the day. And this has been quite some time ago. So they were coming with hundreds of millions of dollars. They were already popular hip hoppers. And so I said, well, Brother Dick, what can I do about this? I mean, they got money. He said, you got to pray until it don't happen. So, wow, how do I do that? So when I remember what I asked you earlier, who taught you to pray? I figured I knew how to pray. I was a seasoned, mature, senior pastor, and I'd seen great stuff happen in prayer before, but we were fixing to take it up a notch. We called our men together, and we began to meet early in the morning, way before daylight, way before everybody went to work, and we began to pray. And at first it was awkward. It was a quietness. We didn't really know what to do. You know, the Spirit says, I do not know what to pray, or, you know, we don't know what to pray or how we ought to pray, but the Spirit helps our infirmity. Well, it would seem like we would get on the scent of what the Spirit wanted to do. And we begin to pray. And God, I want to tell you folks, we would pray with such ferocity. Like we were in a war, like we were looking right in the face of it, because we were. We went into the arena of the principality and the power, and we made war in that place. And we said, Lord God, let the wheels come off their chariots. Cause them to turn each other and on the infight. You should go back and read the news articles as they started stabbing and shooting each other. Their money fell. With all that money, they could not open No Limit Record Label. They went to jail, prison, fell apart. The whole thing vanished. Glory be to God. That's one significant issue. Baton Rouge got enough issues. We don't need another one. We've literally been the venereal disease capital of the world for as long as I can remember. We're first in everything bad and worst in everything good. Our city is literally a shambles. Our state's a shambles. It's a horrible state. It just is. I love many people here, but there's so much prayer that needs to happen. Right now, when I see Russia invade Ukraine, when I see George Soros' handpicked man leading the Ukrainians, when I see China's handpicked man running America, when I see the church is silent, all the churches are worried about is, I don't know, your destiny and you're fulfilling your destiny. Now there's a new, your assignment. I mean, come on, I've been around this thing 40 years. Now we're talking assignments. That's the new buzzword. When you say assignment, that makes you really important. See, here's what we need to do. We need to gather together. I can't tell you how this fits in such a segue from biblical church teaching to prayer. What we need is the small, intimate gathering where we pray the will of God concerning current event. This is what needs to take place. We need to pray like never before. We need to pray till the powers of the heavens shake. Where principalities and powers have to turn loose, where the Creator moves the muscles of omnipotence and begins to touch the creation and thwart the plans of wicked, sinning men. They've usurped the creation of God. for their own luxuries, their own control. They think they're gods. And this is an hour. If the church is going to fight its way out of the place we're in, we need not be many. In the last days, it says that the people of God will do great exploits. It also says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 7, he says, after that, he has accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. This scattering has been taking place. This is the exact opposite of gathering. There's been a scattering. And hear me now, believer, you can't do this by yourself. The day will come where you're going to be very aware that you're not independent. You're not codependent, but you are interdependent on other believers. You better know that. That Christianity is never independent or codependent. It is an interdependent body that functions as each member is fitly joined together. We have to understand what God's calling us to in this hour. I believe God is calling those who have forsaken the assembly, come back, return. Return to me, says the Lord. I don't believe it's a return to the traditional church as you knew it. I believe it's a return to truth. Open your Bible. Blow that dust off of it. Open it up. Begin to read. Confess your sin. Let your heart break. Rend your heart and not your garment. Get a new heart and a new spirit. Let the Spirit of the Lord come in. Break all the stronghold of unforgiveness in you and bitterness. Break all the sinfulness out of you and repent. Get a new heart and a new spirit, says the Lord. And He'll forgive your iniquities. And then pray. Begin to pray and cry out to God. Let me show you something, man. He says that the man of sin opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that is worshiped. The normal theology in churches today is a selfish, self-prosperity message. Think about it. If you're not interested in gathering other believers together in harvest, then all you have is personal prosperity. And I'm telling you, it will be your demise. I'm telling you, there's nowhere else to go. If you're a saved person and you refuse, the Bible says if you're not gathering, you're scattering. If you refuse to gather, then what else do you have other than your own self-grandizement and personal edification? There's another fancy word for it these days called narcissism. A perverted self-love. So I'm urging you, dear people, to not forsake. If you've forsaken the assembly, go back and listen to my messages. www.housechurchesusa.com. Go back and listen and review all my messages concerning biblical church. Get your friends and family together. Cook a meal. Come together. Break bread together, read the Bible together, and pray. Repent of your sins, ask God to touch you, and then begin to pray the events of our day and ask our Creator to move the muscles of omnipotence. Move the creation to thwart the works of men. We're going to get more on this later. I think next week we may we're not going to be able to be on next week, so it'll be week after next. But I want to thank you for coming and joining with us tonight. And I pray that these messages will get deep in your spirit and many would begin to return. If so, if you want to come back, email me, text me, give me an email, shoot me an email, www.housechurchesusa.com, and we'll respond to you. And God bless you. We're praying for you. Have a blessed evening.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's Word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.